Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, here we go on a Friday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in a couple of minutes, Drew is going to pay off his NFL bet for the season.
Let's go. I'm excited.
Yep, he's going to pay off.
I would not be.
Well,
was actively dreading it if it was going to be me.
It's weird. It's one of those bets where it's embarrassing and uncomfortable for him, but it also might be just as uncomfortable for us. If you missed it, way back in August, we made our predictions for the season. And as you guys know, Drew's a Cincinnati guy. And so we said, all right, fine, then back it up. And we made a bet. And if the Bengals made the playoffs, Cody and I were going to have to wear this old Hooters outfit.
Well, it was downstairs and we grabbed specifically for this purpose.
So we would have each had to have worn it during a show. And of course, if Cincinnati missed the playoffs, Drew would. And we know that Cincinnati missed the playoffs. So Drew will be wearing a Hooters outfit, the shorts, the top, all of it throughout the show today. I haven't seen it yet. He says he has it on right now underneath the hoodie. We're waiting for the video stream to get up. You guys can bear with me. If you want, at some point here in the next minute or two, you can go ahead and head to YouTube, Facebook,
Twitch.
All right,
I just started it, so momentarily.
Like and subscribe.
We'll have him unveil, I guess.
That's certainly one way to put it, you know?
go ahead. We'll do that in a second. Also, a little bit later on in the show, Josh Briscoe will join us at 11 o'clock. We'll wrap up a little NFL talk with him for the wild card weekend and his perspective on where things are at for this offseason for Kansas City. And then it's a Friday. So we'll end the weekend on a good note with Fan Club Friday, brought to you by Jay Rieger & Co. We'll have a couple drinks, and we'll have Taylor Burr from Fox 4 join us. We haven't had her on the show before. She's, I don't know, now maybe it's been like 6+ months at least now.
She's been in the gig for a while.
Yeah, but she's obviously newer to Kansas City. So we'll get to know her a little bit, talk some NFL. She also covered the Florida Gators for a while, so we'll talk about, I'm imagining some displeasure with the Miami Hurricane winning last night. I'm imagining there's not a whole lot of love there towards the Miami Hurricane, so we'll ask about that. What a game it was, though, last night with Miami pulling off the win against Ole Miss, so that was awfully cool to watch. And both teams, I think, were pretty easy to root for based off of the personalities that exist and the stories behind it, but I wanted Ole Miss to win last night, but it was Miami that got the job done.
Yeah, Ole Miss was an easy team to root for the obvious reasons, because their coach had left them. If they had gone on to win it, it would have felt like kind of this exciting moment. And so I feel like it would have been cool to see them do it. But yeah, it'll be Miami, and then obviously the winner of Indiana-Oregon tonight, who we'll talk about in a second. But again, as a reminder, I'll give you 30 more seconds, maybe 38.
Okay, good,
because
I want to get the show tweet up as well with the stream.
So the video stream is getting ready to start.
Stream is up.
He'll be wearing it throughout the entire show.
Sure, but we're not going to have him on camera the entire show. But so over on YouTube and Twitter and Twitch, you can subscribe to 96.5 The Fan. We video stream the show anyway. But if you want to see Drew in his Hooters outfit, you can do that. So.
I know everybody has been waiting on, and people aren't even excited about what we're going to talk about on the show today. They just want to see this.
We're
965 The Fan on Twitch. We're The Fan 965 over on YouTube. Just come find us. You'll find us.
All right. So can you fill us in backstory here? You grabbed the outfit from downstairs a day or two ago. Did you wash this? Because we don't know when the last time that thing's been worn.
Well, which is exactly why I felt like I needed to wash it. I washed it. I tried it on.
So you tried it on. Like, be honest, did you like turn around in the mirror and look at yourself a little bit while you're wearing it? What did your wife think of this?
She was like, oh boy, that's all she said.
Oh boy.
That's all she could say.
That's not a compliment.
She was like, I mean, it definitely looks like it's not meant for you. I was like, yeah, would say it's a good way to describe
it. That's a nice way.
I tried it on. I waited until about, I don't know if I'm going to be able to last the whole show wearing this. Not because of the embarrassment. It's more of it's squeezing the pec muscles so much that
isn't that meant to support that area more than any?
Well,
Guess not.
Traditionally, yeah, okay. I would assume so.
Okay. So, actually, I did it before Drew starts showing everybody the outfit. I actually put some music in goal. Could you actually help Drew out? I don't want him to make it feel like it's just awkward and we're just sitting here.
Yeah.
You might recognize this as the What's Your Fantasy music.
Should I go solo? I want to go single producer, Cancer.
Go for it.
Yeah, I think so. Take the music down just a little bit, Drew. That way we can still have commentary. Okay. All right, Drew, let's see.
This is paying off the season-long Hooters bet.
Are we going to regret this?
Yes, it's going to be uncomfortable for us. He's wearing the Hooters outfit. He's taking the black hoodie off. Now, you had another shirt on underneath. It looks like an Oklahoma State shirt. Did you intentionally pick an orange shirt to go with the Hooters?
Yes, okay. Yes, I did.
All right, all right.
You know what? I appreciate the effort.
He's trying to match up a little bit. All right, here we go. I got to stand up because I don't think I can see from where I'm... Okay. All right.
Wait, should I do the shorts first or should I do the top first?
Do the top first. Fine. Yeah.
I don't think it matters. Is this uncomfortable for everybody? Honestly, it's not as short in the crop area.
No, I thought it was going to be much higher up. But you know.
Let's go.
And you're going to have to step back from the camera a little bit after you do the shorts, just so everyone can get the full view. Why are you flexing?
He's flexing, which is the most ridiculous part of this. If the men had to wear this at Hooters when they worked.
Dude.
My gosh.
All right.
So that's the top.
Shorts time, I guess.
I'm actually going to have to go to the video stream.
Because you're going to have to take a step back anyway. This feels like we're breaking some sort of company
rule. I need to take the graphic a whole lot.
Does HR have to be called for this? I just don't know what the I don't know what the rules are. This feels like we're bordering on sexual harassment in the workplace. Take your shorts off, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, those are short. Yeah. Good call on the compression shorts.
Yeah,
that would
have been disgusting otherwise.
I deeply fear what that would have looked like otherwise.
How uncomfortable does it feel right now, though?
Everything feels like it's pressing up
where it shouldn't be pressing up.
I'll be honest. The shorts, the compression significantly helps. The top is like is right here in this is the pec muscle area. So it's a little tight.
Someone says, not going to lie, over on Twitch, this looks like a shirt he'd wear anyways.
Someone says you might end up with a new listener base. Additional listeners?
We like listeners on our...
Everybody's welcome. Yeah, everybody's welcome. Whatever you need to want to listen to the show more, we're all for. Whatever it takes. Someone says, why did I watch this? Drew, did you take a blue chew before?
Gorilla over...
No, I didn't.
Gorilla over on YouTube says, okay, I'm turning off the stream now. Yeah. Several sick emojis. Someone says, YouTube is going to take this video down.
Oh, that could happen. Yeah.
Really?
That would actually
be
insane.
We're going to get decency standard?
That would be insane.
Text line, Drew said, nice rack. Can I cut the music, please? Can we cut the music? What?
Somebody just said that this is like a lesson in gambling and why you should gamble responsibly.
That's true. Otherwise, you could be wearing a Hooters outfit at work.
Please gamble responsibly.
I will say this after seeing... So between this and...
I can't take you seriously.
between this and other like gambling like payoffs, this one I feel like is not as bad as some others. I will say this as well. I wanted to make sure that I paid off this bet and I did not negotiate out of said bet. I wanted to make sure that we paid this one off. I know the McDonald's one is still technically there.
We'll get to that.
But yeah, no, I wanted to, yeah.
Someone says, this is the new Bengals jersey. You can be wearing this as often as you wore
it. He is used to wearing orange.
That's why he's okay with it.
So.
The orange and black, yeah, is...
Someone says there's an episode of over on YouTube. Someone says... They think there's an episode of King of the Hill where he has to go work at Hooters. He said, maybe I'm getting some flashbacks.
I mean, I would pay you a large sum of money to walk into a Hooters later on after the show, just wearing
and
that.
Just and just see.
And
like,
just
and, like some
and,
wings,
act,
please?
And act completely normal. Like, they're the crazy ones. Like, what do you, why?
I'm just wearing what I want to wear.
What are you guys looking at me for? And just, or actually, the funnier one would be to walk into a Twin Peaks wearing that and just sit down.
I mean, I assume they boo you out of the building, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm not sure how that would go down.
Someone says he has to wear that to Chuck's Arcade if he loses another bet.
No.
The police might be called.
That's
police.
It's Chuck's Arcade, not Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, fair. I'm just saying, Chuck E. Cheese. The police are being called. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you're getting arrested before you even get
someone
into
who's
the
real loser in the bet. That's what I'm not sure. Honestly, I thought it would be him, but I'm not sure.
We can't really see the shorts from here, so we're spared from that.
Do you want me to?
No.
Okay.
No. You don't need to come in here. No.
Yeah. You want to stay as far
stay over there.
Socially distant.
Stay over there.
Socially distant.
Yeah. Think of this as like 2020.
There's a huge. There's glass over there.
Instead of 6 feet, you want it to be like 20 feet.
Stay in the producer booth over there, please. Yeah. And hope that the boss doesn't walk in at any point today.
Yeah, you got to kind of hope that Roxanne doesn't like pop upstairs just to see how things are going.
She doesn't know about this, does she?
I'll be honest. Choosing a Friday, I thought we were doing a little bit of solid because then you'll get to weekend to wash us away. What I didn't think about is on Fridays, the entire sales staff comes upstairs for a brief period of time, including the big boss. They all come upstairs at 1:30
and we're going to have it on
the whole building.
We might have to arrange.
You'd like to negotiate having it off before 1:30 is what you're saying.
I think that that might be fair.
We'll see if we're feeling generous later, I guess.
Look, if it's no, I don't mind the embarrassment of people, I guess, witnessing this, but I don't need it to be that awkward.
But before we move on to actual sports topics, over on Twitch, there seems to be a significant request on the video side.
Wait, he's getting requests.
One more thing before we switch the cameras for a little bit and actually touch boards. They'd like you to back up from the camera and just do one little spin.
I'm gonna go single producer.
Single producer for a second. Back away from the camera for a second and just do a little spin. Outfit of the day style, you know? I'm sure we'll send out a clip from this on social media later. It's so ridiculous.
There it is.
All right, there we go. All right, yeah.
Someone says, please take that off before fan club. The guest gets here. That might be a good idea.
Yeah. Let's not try to scare off new people who are coming onto this show. And all of a sudden, like, we swear Drew doesn't dress like this every day.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get really concerned if he ever is just wearing that again randomly, whether it's a week from now or 6 months from now. I'll be very like,
if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, like if your wife asked you to wear that, if your wife asked you to keep that on tonight or something, then that's a completely different conversation.
Game worn.
You said game
show worn.
Show worn. Producer worn.
Should I sign it?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm gonna feel gross right now. You know,
it feels again. It feels like an HR violation, whatever we're doing. Either he's committing an HR violation or we are. Mm-hmm. Maybe both, at least on that side. Let's talk a little bit of NFL football.
Oh, yeah?
Let's make a little transition. We previewed the AFC side of the NFL playoffs yesterday. Worthy previewing the NFC side as well, as obviously we got a great college football playoff game last night, another college football playoff game tonight. And remember, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, we'll get NFL playoffs. So let's look at the NFC side of things. We can start with Rams-Panthers because it's easily the least interesting game. Is anyone giving the Panthers more than about a 10 or 15 shot to win it? I've seen 8-9, 8-8. I've seen bad NFL teams.
Dude, Carolina stinks.
I think the Rams are too good. I don't think the Panthers are all that good at all. I think that this is easily the least competitive game of the weekend. I like the Rams by 10 or more, probably, if we're being honest for this matchup. I just don't think the Panthers have enough juice.
I know the Panthers beat the Rams earlier this year. I think it was week 9 or whatever. So you'll say, what do you mean? How can you say they don't have a chance? They beat them. The Panthers, how they're playing down the stretch, this is weird. They ended up winning the NFC South, but they were playing worse than the Falcons down the stretch. They were playing worse than the Saints down the stretch. And believe it or not, other than the Bucs, who they still lost to, even in the game that they needed to win, if it wasn't for the tiebreaker, they might have been playing worse than any other team in their own division heading into the postseason.
The Falcons were playing better.
That's what I'm saying. So, I don't think, can the Panthers maybe cover the 10.5? Fine. I don't really have much interest in betting that, be honest with you. But the Rams are winning this game. There's a reason this is the first game on Saturday. It's going to be the worst game of the entire weekend. The Panthers and Bryce Young, I'm sorry. I understand Dave Canales deserves a ton of credit, and Bryce Young has been clutch on game-winning drives for the most part. But you look still at some of his numbers, guys. In the first half, he's ending first halves with 55, 65 yards passing. I mean, if their run game is not going and they're not forcing a turnover, these games are not going to be close, or this game will not be close. So I like the Rams quite a bit.
Yeah, so you sound like you're in a very similar camp as me, at least on that. So let's move on from that one for just a minute, because again, the other two have some intrigue.
Oh yeah.
But the most interesting is obviously the game tomorrow night. So the Eagles game,
Night's Packers,
yeah,
Bears.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. The Eagles game though, and the 49ers. Do the 49ers, they obviously, once again, have a very talented roster, but now it's all hurt. Then, you know, Trent Williams, like, he's not even practicing every day. Practiced yesterday, so maybe he's available to go, but at what percentage is he? And I still think that and it makes me feel a little sick. I think the Eagles still have the best roster in the NFL. They have the best roster in the playoffs. And they've been to Super Bowls. They won the Super Bowl last year. They understand how to win in the playoffs and are consistent at doing it and are playing at home against an injured 49ers team. This might be the second least competitive game of the weekend. I think every game on the AFC side is gearing up to be a more competitive game than what I think we might get out of this Eagles 49ers game. It's another game where I'd like to find a way to get the 49ers to win it, because I don't want to see the Eagles go anywhere. But when you start looking at the roster comparisons, it's not close. The Eagles have the better roster, are playing at home, and have all the experience. How am I supposed to talk myself into a 49ers win here?
The issue with the Niners is the injuries.
Yes.
That's the real problem here. Like, you're right about the Eagles and the roster and why, you know, a lot of people still think there's a chance they could go on a run. And they do have some of the most talented rosters in the entire playoff field, and maybe the most talented roster in the entire postseason. But the 49ers, the other part of this equation, it's not just about how Philadelphia might play. San Francisco is so beat up. They just had also another grueling game in the final week of the season. They, of course, don't have a bye. They have to go on the road. They have to go from the West Coast all the way out east to Philadelphia. I just think it's a terrible setup for San Francisco to win this game in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think it's just going to – it's not a 0% the way I feel like the Panthers. Like, I give them a 5% chance to win the game. But it just feels like they're going to have to play a perfect game. As in, the Eagles have no answers for Christian McCaffrey. Purdy is on, and Purdy has 2-3 games like this a year, Gold, at least I'll admit. Purdy has 2-3 games a year where, like, he is just on one. Dialed in, you know, accurate as anybody in the league. Like, he has a couple games a year where he just fires. He had that 5 or 6 touchdown game. What, like week 14 or 15 when they were still fighting for the division? So, like, he can have games like that. I just don't see it. Now, the last game on the NFC side, Packers and Bears. I mean, look, I'm never going to get tired of a historic NFL rivalry and two teams that already had to play each other a couple times this year. The problem for the Packers is a little bit like the injury stuff. I think this game is close. I'm just going to give the Bears the edge because of being at home. And I think Ben Johnson's got this team at least to the point that I can expect them to get a playoff win. I don't think they're making a deep playoff run. I think it's too early for the Bears in this transitional period to getting good again for them to go on a deep run. I'm not predicting them coming out of the NFC or anything. But I do think that they'll get this one win against Green Bay. The question will be whether or not does Caleb Williams make mistakes in his first playoff run?
I think the public, it seems like, wants the Bears to win. Like, public likes the story. Year one, Ben Johnson, Chicago, great fan base as well there, and it's going to be an awesome atmosphere. Actually, I'm going to go Green Bay on this. I think they spoil the party there in Chicago. Bears get back to the postseason finally. They win their division and all that. And then I think Green Bay goes in there and spoils the party. There's no Aaron Rodgers to be their enemy, but I still think the Packers as a franchise still own the Chicago Bears. And so I'll go with Green Bay in this matchup. Jordan Love, remember, he has not played here recently with Malik Willis getting snaps with all the injuries and everything.
Malik Willis played pretty well, though, down the stretch. He didn't play bad.
The key in this game is, can they get Josh Jacobs going at all? Because in the weather, I think, is supposed to be nasty. And so the run game, Chicago has a great run game. And so that should favor them if the weather does get bad. But if the Green Bay Packers can get Josh Jacobs back to where he was the first half of the season, he's not been as good here in the back half. If they can get back to that, then I also like them here. I'll just still go with the more experienced, slightly more experienced quarterback in this particular spot. Jordan Love doesn't have a ton of postseason experience, but it's definitely more than Caleb Williams.
Hey, Drew, which side are you on? I can't. I can't look.
Don't look.
Over
don't
there.
Look over there. Don't Drew? Look. Don't look. Over
Do you want
there.
To give us your selections for these games?
He can't gather his thoughts either.
No. Yes, I can. I am. Let me pull up the games again because I've been running around.
Packers, Bears.
Packers. I'm going to take the Packers to win this one. I'm going to take the Rams to win their game, And then I will take the Eagles to win the game over the Bears.
So we're on the same page.
Yeah, we're all on the same idea.
Cody's on the Bears, though. Cody's on the Bears.
I think the Panthers cover, though, the 10.5. I think the game might be a little bit better than because they beat them earlier in the year. And I know that it's different. It's in Carolina. I don't know if that means anything. But I think Carolina can – I think he can keep it within 10 points. It just feel 10 points is a crazy – for a playoff game, is a crazy number. For a spread in a playoff game.
I know, but the Panthers are awful.
I know.
Like, Tet McMillan looks to be a good player. And for a while this season, they ran the ball okay. But that's like, that. I mean, those that, are like...
That's really the extent of it.
That's the end of my compliments for him. Like, yeah, honestly, I genuinely hope the Panthers are smart enough to move on from Bryce Young. Because they can't. It's not going to work in the long term. They want to ride out the final year of his contract and wait for next year's quarterback draft. I don't care. That's fine. Because they're not picking high enough to like actually do any kind of damage. They're going to be picking in the 20s. But if they just want to take Ty Simpson at 24, that's fine too.
I don't know if it's just me either. I know that we're on the same page in picking the Packers, it feels like. But I don't see the Bears. It's weird. They're the 2 seed, but it doesn't feel like I can picture them winning the whole thing. Like I can't visualize them getting to the Super Bowl, even though they're the 2 seed. I don't know if that's
let's do that exercise. Who do you think actually can win the Super Bowl out of the NFC side? Because maybe you think they can win a game, but what you're saying, who can win the Super Bowl? I think the Rams can, even though they're gonna have to go on the road, but they're playing the Panthers. So
I agree.
So the Rams, Seattle, they're the number 1 seed, and they have beaten just about everybody in this field. Is there a third? Is the question. And if there is, Eagles. Who is it? And it's the Eagles just because of their experience in the roster.
I think so.
So it's those 3 teams.
When we do this later, just as a heads up, the Eagles are the team I'm going to predict to come out of the NFC.
It could be weird. And I could see the only Packers coming out of it just because we thought that they were the. I know that was
they
early,
lost,
but we.
Maybe before the Micah Parsons injury.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
The first month of the year, the Packers were playing better football than anybody, but it's always. Doesn't matter how you're playing the first month. How are you playing down the stretch? Injuries. They're also not playing as well. So maybe the Bears beat the Packers on Sunday or Saturday night. I'm sorry, tomorrow night. But I can't imagine them then going on the road and rattling off a couple wins. All right, if they have to go on the road, depending on how the bracket shifts.
I'd only give the AFC one additional team. I think Denver, Buffalo, Jacksonville, and New England can win the Super Bowl, and nobody else can.
Hmm. I still struggle with Jacksonville. I know they're playing great, and you're right, it's the name part.
That's part of it, first and
year,
I don't blame you
I can't
that.
Remember where, I don't have the trend in front of me. First-year head coaches, just, like, it almost automatically eliminates you from winning a Super Bowl. There's other factors, but I'll have to find it. Somebody did a good breakdown of some of those trends, and, like, first-year head coaches, you can almost eliminate any of these teams, like Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen. Like, you're not winning the Super Bowl in your first year.
I think the only
in the last 25
I guess the
years
only thing I'm giving the Jags is versus the Bears. The Bears are a year behind where the Jags are. Jags have played in a couple of postseason games. They took on the Chiefs in a playoff game. They came from behind and won. So like they've gotten a little taste of it. Chicago and Caleb Williams in this unit haven't gotten really any taste of it.
Yeah.
So like there's part of me just doesn't.
Two coaches, and I'm not talking about like Mike Vrabel's been a head coach before.
Like Mike Martz or
Mike Vrabel's been a head coach before, so this stat doesn't really qualify for him. It's not his first time being head coach. 2 times, Don McCaffrey with the Baltimore Colts in 1971, first rookie head coach to ever win a Super Bowl. And then George Seifert, he won with the Niners. Now, caveat still an asterisk, he stepped in after Bill Walsh. They're in the middle middle of the dynasty. That roster was ready to rock and roll already.
Versus taking over the Jags.
Yeah.
Not a team in the middle of it. That's fair. That's more than fair. I just give them the advantage because they might, as much as I said the Eagles had the best roster in the NFL, the Jags might have the best roster on the AFC side.
The last coach.
Top to bottom, not like, you know.
The last coach to just reach the Super Bowl in their first year was Jim Caldwell back in 2009 with Manning and the Colts. Now, they didn't win.
Again, you got to have like Peyton Manning or Joe Montana, Steve Young. Like, you got to have like a dude. And look, this is not a knock on Trevor Lawrence, but like the quarterbacks we're discussing here, even if you like Trevor Lawrence, are not that of the ones you're comparing. You're comping Jim Caldwell got to take over Peyton Manning, who ran the entire offense himself. Sure. A lot of people probably could have gone to the Super Bowl with that Colts team. Like, that's a good position to land yourself in if you're a coach, that's for sure. Good position. Good position to be in overall. Drew, is it hurt to wear that outfit?
People are asking still shots. People are tweeting us still shots of you flexing now. Thank you for that.
I think it's fine. It's fine right now, but it's the... I think in 2.5 hours, it's going to be really
uncomfortable
tugging on the pec muscles a little bit, which is it's just going to get
clarified. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Said pec muscles.
Let's go. Why am I excited for
this? Why are you? You're way too excited.
He's good at owning it.
I'm cool. Yeah,
but then
I'm
that
cool
ruins it for us. We want you to be miserable.
Yeah.
This was like people weren't happy. I wasn't sad enough when I ate that hot chip on the air. I ate that Pocky chip. I was miserable. I was just calm about it.
Yeah.
Drew's, you know what though? We can just look at this. Anybody who's like overly happy, you know, they're just like secretly miserable. That's what I'm going to assume.
All right, up next, let's talk a little bit what happened last night, though. College football playoff national semi. We know Miami is moving on. They're awaiting the winner tonight of Indiana and Oregon. But a couple different storylines out of the game yesterday, what it tells us about college football. We'll also get to Rob Manfred's idea for baseball next.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Don't forget the Royals rally is coming up at the end of the month on Saturday, January 31st. Vern will be broadcasting live from 9 to noon. He'll have interviews with multiple Royals players, front office interviews as well, and of course, always available on demand on the All Things Vern channel. Baseball season. We'll be here before we know it. We will talk a little baseball here in about 8 to 10 minutes as Rob Manfred, who confirmed that in January of 2029, he will step away as commissioner. He's not going to stay any longer than that, even though there was some speculation here in recent months that maybe he would. He had a couple really interesting ideas. Some are better than others, as it usually goes. We'll get into that in just a bit. But don't forget, Royals rally coming up at the end of the month, man. Vern will be on the air here before you know it.
Oh, it's a good time. Players and GMs, they usually schedule a time, so you kind of know who's going to be there and when, and all the different panels you can catch, and of course, Vern's show out there as well. So should be a good time. You got a little smile on your face. Somebody sending you another photo laughing of Drew?
Yes. I got some text. Yes.
Well, yeah. And for those of you who didn't get on YouTube or anything like that, there's a social clip that I believe is going to be going out on our Instagram page as well. So if you have Instagram, then
follow
you can
us
go
on Instagram.
See the outfit there.
Yep. Drew is paying off his Hooters bet. I know you were excited last night, though, Drew. Fortunately, Drew had that at least, even if he knew the next day he was going to have to wear this. He was excited because we had a hell of a college football game last night. It really was. It was an awesome game. And the final 5 minutes in particular were really, really strong. The back and forth, we've talked about the story with Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin bails on them. So right away, that makes you root for those kids, I think, a bit. And then Trinidad Chambliss is a great story to begin with. So it was easy to root for him. I also just think he's come up with big play after big play. Wasn't good enough, though, as a team last night. Miami, really, for most of that game, was the better team.
I thought at any point they were getting ready, Ole Miss was going to get run out of the building.
It looked like it.
Chambliss kept trying to give the ball away. And
Miami was so dominant.
Miami was running the ball with ease. I thought, this is going to be a problem.
When Miami wanted to run, they were able to run the football. And then Carson Beck, give him credit, last drive, to go and get yourself a berth for the national title game, he puts together a 70-yard drive that eats up a good chunk of clock. Of course, he runs in the touchdown. Ole Miss had nobody over on that side of the field. I mean, he just walked in if he wanted to. And it caps off, well, maybe, we'll see. To this point, continues, I should say, his 7-year college football career. And Miami, it's weird. Like, normally, going way back to when we were much younger, Miami, they were dominant, and they were viewed
as the swagger team,
Yes, they were viewed as kind of team people didn't like and all that. Now that both these teams were really likable last night.
Miami, because they have not been relevant for a number of years, the hate, or I guess the childhood hate or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a ton of hate. They were a really popular starter jacket during my youth.
Yeah, good colors. Yeah.
And so, but they were the braggadocious team. And so I think people were kind of turned off of them for a while. Just a likable bunch trying to win a football game last night. They were on the fringe of not making the college football playoff at all. Again, why we all wanted a college football playoff for so damn long anyway. For the longest time, it was just you put two teams in. Then we got up to four, and it's like, no more. There are more good teams with an actual chance of winning a national title. Miami, the 10 seed, of the very few teams who get in college football is all the way in the national championship now.
Yeah, this is a true playoff. This is the point of having a playoff.
Which is an American sports system, I understand. And it is unique to American sports. Turns out I'm an American. I grew up here and I like watching.
This is what we like, man.
Playoff sports, even if they are not the best team wins formula every time, because they aren't, they are still the most fun formula from a just anybody can win it perspective. So the only that, and that's what stood out to me, is really the fact that this once again kind of highlights where college football is. And I think that everybody should admit that the SEC is not the best college football conference anymore. They will now have 3 straight years not having anyone play in the national championship game. And the Big Ten could win 3 straight national championships if Indiana wins it all, or the ACC could have one before them. So like,
that on top of the bowl record, the SEC was 4-10 in bowl games, 2-8 against in ones that didn't include 2 SEC teams playing.
Sankey, the SEC commissioner, can try all he wants more and more to guarantee bids and opportunities for the SEC to have spots in the playoffs. But the facts are the facts now. As you said, it's been 3 years since they were in a national title game. The only part that I love that.
Oh, of course I do.
The only part, again, because the only part I hate is because, again, I think
they might try to run the sport. Well, no,
I
mean,
like, because I thought Ole Miss was very likable and Trinidad, and that would have been a cool story. But in general, the fact that the SEC missed out after how they've tried to game the playoff bidding for themselves, I do take a little bit of joy.
I think it also helps that this is Miami and not Ohio State in a way, from the standpoint of Miami's back. Carson Beck, the not revenge tour, if you will, but Georgia essentially said, we're taking Gunnar Stockton over you and you got to leave. He leaves, gets the elbow surgery. He's back and he's going further than Georgia did. Like there's so many good storylines beyond just the Cignetti angle, as well with Trinidad Chambliss. And to your guys' point about the way the playoff is built up, if it were just 4 teams, we wouldn't see Ole Miss or Miami in, or Oregon in. Like, I think that, you know, having the playoff as big as it is, it presents the opportunity for stories like this to be, you know, made.
But my fear, and like, this is a very real fear I have, it brings me pleasure because of the way the SEC talks down to everybody football-wise, that they have not been in a national championship for 3 straight years. Deep, deep pleasure. And that they will, once again, not do it. But, because of them not being in it, and because they are still the loudest voice in the room when it comes to college football, they are going to ruin it to stack the deck for themselves now. They're going to fight even harder for 4 guaranteed playoff spots. They're going to fight even harder for all the home games have to be played in SEC stadiums. They're going to fight even harder to try to not make it equal because they're not winning anymore. So, like, we have to prepare for, but if they were going to 16, still powerful, that they're going to fight for inequality in it.
I mean, if they go to 16, I don't know if I hear you. I think if they were going to 16, which we all think they're going to end up doing, the SEC was going to be trying to lock in, you know, 4
but I think
plus
now
spots anyway.
More, like, you know, it's going to be worse.
I guess, yeah. Or, I mean, ors are more juice now behind the Big Ten and other power brokers as well to push back on that. I don't know.
I'm not so sure if this is a good way to describe this, but I would say, because Cam Newton recently came out, I think it said something similar to in the range of what you're saying, Cody, not exactly, but Cam Newton said, I would rather watch Arkansas, Mississippi State than Indiana. But I think that there is a moment where you can, I think I agree with Cam from the standpoint that the SEC means I get the fact that it means just more, because I think the SEC means more to those states than college football does to any other region in the country. That doesn't mean, though, that I would rather watch Arkansas and Mississippi State play than Indiana and Oregon play. I think while the SEC and it means more
Arkansas,
there.
Mississippi State stink.
Exactly. I think while it means more, that doesn't mean that that's the best product on the field. And I think that's the discrepancy where college football finds themselves in, is the people love the SEC and the pageantry and all of that is more than collectively than what it is anywhere else in the country. But that doesn't mean it's the better football product.
No, look at the Big Ten. The Big Ten is guaranteed a spot in the national title because, of course, tonight we get Oregon and we get Indiana. And so with where they're at, you brought up Ohio State over the last couple of years, last year national champions as well. Like, the Big Ten, you might be correct on the regional aspect of the SEC, but the Big Ten has been the better.
The
Big Ten has been the better conference right now. Now it can change. We could be talking 3 years from now and the SEC is in the title game and winning 3 straight championships. But right now, the Big Ten's the best conference.
Yeah,
it is. you know, ultimately it's about who wins national titles and who makes a run in the college football playoff. Not necessarily just that, oh, well, the bottom three teams in the SEC are better than the bottom three teams in the Big Ten. Like, yeah, you want depth in your conference, but that's not really how we're judging these conferences. Like, you know, as much even when we talk about the Big 12, yeah, top to bottom, the Big 12 is actually a pretty strong conference, but the top end is not anywhere near the top end of the Big Ten or the SEC. It's just not.
Yep.
No, it's not. And like, but that's the problem. Again, I do think that it's somehow, look, right now, the Big Ten's having a better run. Like, I understand the Big Ten and the SEC are the only two conferences in college football that have real juice at the moment. I still think that NIL can help balance the playing field a little bit. Like, look at teams like Texas Tech, who can now compete, who weren't previously competing in the old system. And it just, a lot of this just goes back to, like, nobody likes the winner, right? Same as people didn't like the Chiefs and are happy to see him fail and everything else outside of it. The game tonight, I am very interested in. We can talk about it more later, but the Indiana-Oregon one, like, for the Oregon, Phil Knight doing the I'll give you a blank check until I die to get them a national championship. I got to say, when he was looking at a Final Four of, and like, if you just take the, you know, knowing how good Indiana's been, Indiana, Ole Miss, and Miami, you got to be like, guys, I've been cutting these checks for a while. We got a guy who's going to go top two in the NFL draft. Kind of feels like this is the year that those checks are supposed to cash, is how I would feel if I was Oregon. I understand
their first ever football
tonight. National
title.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I mean, nobody, that was what was fun about the four, is that nobody is some like football powerhouse, even though the Miami
historically,
brand.
but not in the last 20 years mm-hmm. or whatever. Yeah. I think what you just said though, about the, you know, Phil Knight and the money and all that. It's weird. There was the story, was it a day ago, 2 days ago? That, so Mark Cuban is an Indiana alum.
For the first time, he dedicated, yeah, since 2015, he dedicated a big amount of money.
He's an Indiana alum, and he said that he committed some NIL money last year, but he's like, they like the check I'm giving them more this year. We don't know the dollar amount and all that. I can't remember. I think maybe it was Front Office Sports that had a whole article about this. I thought it was fascinating, and it makes sense. They said, you know what? You've always had, like, Mark Cuban's always donating money to Indiana, the university, but not the athletic department. And they made a good point, and they said, this is why it's changed. Before, it was never viewed as, you know, on the up and up, you know, you're supporting the athletic department. It was a little more shady. Mark Cuban wasn't going to want to get involved in the bag game, you know what I mean? And the stuff that wasn't above board. So he was always donating to the university, the academic side for buildings and the educational mm-hmm. side, which is great, by the way. Now that it's above board for NIL, for you to write a check for NIL, now you've got these other schools that have, like, every university has not the same amount, but there's somebody at all these universities.
Some rich person who went to the university.
And now, are they more likely to contribute to your athletic department because it's viewed as above board versus before, like, they weren't going to get in the shadiness involving whether talk about.
Because I'm a proper businessman. Yeah. I can't be $100 handshaking mm-hmm. like the local car dealer guy.
The same thing goes for like, look, K-State brings in Colin Klein. If K-State goes to the college football playoff next year, maybe not this, because they're uploading some resources, but if they go to the playoff, there's going to be another re-up in those resources. I think where Signetti comes in and there were some promises made. Hey, I need this. He goes to the playoff. Okay, we actually can buy in. Then there's a little bit more money. They go undefeated so far this season. Now there's another re-up. Like, the fact people think, if people think Indiana's leaving and they're going anywhere, they're absolutely not, because now they're getting the investment from
facilities will be next,
like,
too.
That.
They'll get better facilities over there, and that's going to take some
Indiana's
time.
Not going anywhere.
That'll take some time. Yeah, it's interesting. And then, you know, the ACC, real quick, and we can move on. For whatever reason, it's great for Miami. For whatever reason, they're the only conference that allows them to keep the full prize pool, if you will, of what they make. So Miami in the ACC, they get all right now $20 million they've made throughout this playoff run. Normally, in the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12, you split that with everybody else in the conference. The ACC does not make you do that. How about that? So Miami's getting every penny of the bonus money, essentially, mm-hmm. throughout this run.
It's crazy.
Now, as a conference, I would say that seems like a bad idea, but, you know, just wouldn't you want to prop up everybody in the conference? But for Miami, it's great.
Yes, of course it is. That is kind of crazy. What was the ACC thinking?
Did they just to appease and keep like Clemson and maybe at the time, did they do it to keep Florida State and Clemson happy?
Did it to keep different schools happy, and then Miami's just going to cash a $20 million check by themselves?
Yeah. So you're right. We will get into tonight's game a little bit later on in the show. Indiana in Oregon, big time matchup where Indiana is a 3.5-point favorite, I think, at last check. Let's pivot to baseball a little bit. We mentioned Royals rally coming up at the end of the month, and Rob Manfred was on WFAN in New York And he was talking to them about a wide variety of ideas he has. Also, again, his timeline of when he's going to step away and retire, which is January of 2029. And he had two big ideas. One I'm all in on. The other one I'm not sold. The one idea that I love is the idea of a split season. Anybody that has any remote knowledge of minor league baseball knows that they split up their season and there's a first half and a second half, you know, champion. Yeah. And it allows you, I think, and the reason why I love it, if you're a fan of the Royals or any team, but let's just talk Royals, of course, if you have a bad first half of the season, you're not checked out in thinking that July and August is a waste of time. If your team has a great first half, all right, you already got that in the bag. Now you can just work on and trying to improve, you know, your roster for the postseason in that realm. You got 162 games, man. You have so much inventory. I love the idea of splitting up the season.
So he admitted that because of some of the way the statistics work, that season-long records work, that like he's got to be careful with it. Now, I think you could just records could be the split season, and stats are still just stats, and they count.
Yeah.
For the entire year. So like that seems like a fairly easy process. I'm torn. You know, I love baseball and I'm not like, I don't think I consider myself a baseball traditionalist in the sense that everything has to be the way it used to be. Like I'm open to new ideas and new concepts, but like when it starts getting into gimmicky,
see, I don't think split's gimmicky. I think the in-season tournament and golden at bat is gimmicky.
Okay, so that's fair. Like golden bat's gimmicky. Like,
totally.
Keep that the hell out of the game. That's not baseball.
I'm with you.
It doesn't need to be for anybody who's seen the Futurama episode Blurn's Ball, and they're sitting around and Fry's like, he's like, but baseball is pretty. He's like, well, they finally spiced it up, huh? And so like, it doesn't need to be like gimmicky and insane and like over the top. The in-season split thing, it's like my initial instinct is that I don't like that, and you know, I want you to just have to play 162 game season, but because baseball is so long, there is this like detriment of you have one major injury. If you're a small market ball club, right? You lose Tarek Skubal for the first half of the year and it could derail everything for you because of the economics of baseball. And the truth is the split season helps. And this is fairly simple. The small market teams more than it helps the big market teams. The big market teams don't have a hard time getting to 162. They don't have to wait to call up a prospect. They can do things that way. So part of me is like open to it. I'm not as sold as you, but I am open to it. The in-season tournament, I don't like care. That. I don't care about the NBAs. I don't care about, like, I don't care about in-season tournaments. They are just window dressing. And I don't see any reason to just put a window dressing tournament in the middle of the year.
I've told you with the 162 game schedule that you have and all the inventory for your baseball, instead of an in-season tournament, I just would like them once a month, if not twice a month, to do those marquee events, the Field of Dreams game. Last year, they had the NASCAR track, I think it was Bristol, where they had the Cincinnati Reds playing. Unfortunately, there was a rain delay, and it kind of ruined some of it. But, you know, they've done that. They played Rickwood Field, right? 2 years ago, I think it was, or whatever. They're to honor the Negro Leagues. I think it was, you know, Birmingham and all that. Like, that kind of stuff is cool. And they are bringing back Field of Dreams this year. I wish the Royals were in it, but they're not.
1 year, it would be nice, especially because of like the Monarchs connection and all that
stuff. So I think that is a much better path than trying to set up some like in-season playoff or in-season tournament. Just keep doing and coming up with new creative ways to spice up a regular season baseball game via these marquee games once a month, twice a month. And the split season, I know some people are against it. I don't think that's as gimmicky because you're really not altering all that much, except you're basically saying we're going to allow some team to clinch a playoff spot earlier than ever before. And still, like, that's not as gimmicky to me as,
and
like,
then what, rest season. Starters, and then you run into, like,
well, nobody's going to rest starters the back half of the season.
Every other sport does it. If I knew I had a playoff spot and it's locked
well,
up.
Well, if a guy's hurt, Cody, they're not benching Bobby Wood Jr. for a month and a half.
No, not bench for a month and a half. But what I fear is the minute stuff, the thing they're fighting in the NBA. If a team has a spot locked up, they stop, you know, they do hangover lineups all the time come late September. Yeah. What would stop a team from, like, you know, normally Bobby would play through this little hamstring thing, but he's not for the next 3 weeks now. We got a playoff spot locked up. It becomes minute stuff. And like, just beyond the point of all these teams who keep trying to do these in-season tournaments are obviously just trying to follow the soccer model that works well. People care about the multiple trophies in European soccer. And they're like, we'll make them care here. No, you won't. Because we didn't grow up with it and we don't know it. Nobody cares about the NBA Cup.
There is
the product was better.
I would argue against that, though. I think. I think there, so I went and I looked it up. there's a 90% increase in the NBA Cup viewership from last year. 90%. Like, I think there's more people are invested in the Cup because I think partially, to your point, Cody, it helps with load management. Like, if it's a game that counts and you know that you can get an extra $1 million as a player, like, I think there's extra incentives. Plus, the games count for the regular season. Like, this isn't a separate tournament where, like, I'm assuming baseball would do it the same way, where the in-season tournament games that were not semifinal or finals would count towards the regular season just as they do in the NBA. Like, all of the group stage matches and games count as regular season games. I don't think it would, yeah, it wouldn't separate itself. I think it would provide more intrigue potentially for, I'll be honest, for me particularly, if I know that it's a game for a more casual baseball fan, I think I would be more locked into that.
I got to say, I think that the one thing about, like, what Gold's saying, and this is where, like, NFL is going internationally and you can't beat them at that game. And because you have series and the way your schedule works, because you play games every night, you can't just, like,
that makes it more difficult.
You can't,
I think,
just,
yeah,
put them in Germany and play a game. But what baseball can do is what it was before. They can be America's pastime. They have 162 games a year. The Royals should play a game every year. They should play a series in Des Moines, Wichita, Nashville. They should take two series a year.
Take it around the region, yeah.
A,
sure,
road and a home series every year, and they should take it to small towns, big towns, specialized games, and let everybody across America get to consume your sport live and see it live and experience it live and have fan events based around it and recruit all of middle America and the small towns and all this other stuff and get and win baseball that way is what I think it should be. Because I don't think they can win the international game, Gold. I don't, they can do these specialty things, these Winter Classic style. This,
yeah, the know, special events to me is the easiest path forward for them, even if you don't want to do the in-season tournament. Just continue to build on the games, at, as we said, Field of Dreams, and they had the game at Fort Bragg, and you go on and on and on. They've done these. They've really only done it once a year, though. Like, they do it one time a year. I understand it's a ton of legwork, I'm sure, for Major League Baseball to put these marquee events together, but figure out a way to do one a month across the season.
The more you
and
do
go
them,
from there,
the greater infrastructure you will have to do it. It should be a series. It should be a series.
Like, someone
of series.
Someone texted in 913. This, I would agree with this. I just don't think it's going to happen. But 913-586-7965, Jay Southland, tow service text line from the 785. Someone says, just shorten the damn season. 162 is too many. Totally with you.
Yeah. But that's
we all
the
agree.
Split season because,
but they won't,
they're
do,
not going to take games.
They
away.
Won't do it because it's revenue. But I'm with you. That's a simple answer. Yeah. Cut this thing down to 110 games. If I had my choice, I would cut the baseball season down to 110. Start the season a month later, end the season a month earlier. We're not playing World Series baseball on October 30th when it's freezing outside.
Has
it makes no sense after playing 75% of the season when it's hot.
And to your point, Cody, like the Royals play the Cardinals. I don't know, play one of the games in Springfield where the Cardinals minor league team plays and then play another one up in Omaha.
I think like, you spread yourself out.
Yeah, I don't know if I want them playing in minor league baseball stadiums once a month, but I hear you.
It's not once a month. One series a year. One home, one road.
Because I think for the reason that Cody's talking about, there's no, you don't have to worry about building anything like around Bristol. Like, you just go to the minor league ballpark and you just sell tickets. And I think it's
you go to Quad Cities and you have a major league series for three games. You go to your minor league cities first and then you spread it out.
It pays it off to the minor league fans in that area, I guess, of your team.
Yes, you regionally make it interesting. You go play one series is in Columbia and you bring in everybody from Missouri. You just increase your regional fan base, that's all. I'd like someone to do the math. I'm not going to do it. Somebody do the math on what the Royals' second half record is in each of the last 10 years. I would be, because you talked about
it's
how
it's much better than the first half. I know that without even looking. I know
they
it is.
They stink in April. They've stunk historically in April or in, you know, like, I'd love to see how many more times they would have made the playoffs had it been a first half, second half situation and they could have made the playoffs in the second half run.
Yeah. No, I'm sure the numbers would pan out that the second half is stronger without having to do the math yet. I don't know how much, but you're right. We all know April's been brutal at times for this organization.
Would that eliminate the trade deadline?
Why? Why would it?
Because
in fact, some teams would be more aggressive, or you're saying that
what
like
I'm saying it, is like everyone's in it all the time. Do you not trade, or is it everyone's in
hey,
it all
didn't
the
make
time?
It in the first half, we better go make a move.
Yeah,
I would. It could probably work both ways.
Obviously, we don't know.
It could probably work both ways, Cody, because you would have some teams that didn't clinch in the first half and they realize, oh my gosh, our starting pitcher got hurt. Normally, you would just punt on the season. Like you might just punt on the season and say, all right, we don't have it this year. Well, now in the second half, if it was a split season, you could say, all right, well, we could go make a move and we can still win the second half of the season and still clinch a playoff berth that way. you know, I think there's probably some way where that could work as well. Interesting ideas from Rob Manfred. We'll see if any of them actually are ever implemented. But he had a long conversation over on WFAN about that. We also know something to keep an eye on over the next month or two. Major League Baseball dealing with their television broadcast. 9 Major League teams, including the Royals, have terminated their contracts with FanDuel Sports Network, the parent company, I should say. Main Street Sports Group, they're in trouble financially. 2 people telling The Athletic that that took place, but there's also still an opportunity beginning today for them to renegotiate. If not, it would go in-house, is the speculation. This is already happening right now in the middle of the NBA season with some teams. They're having trying to figure this out on the fly. At least the Royals have 2 months to figure it out.
Although it's bad financially, because it's definitely going to cost them money.
Different. Possibly.
They had finally, remember, we spent years talking about how bad their TV deal was. They finally got to negotiate one that seemed to be at least on par with other major league clubs, and now they're not even getting paid that amount of money. The regional sports bubble burst. It did, because they all got consolidated, and MLB, NHL, and Major League Baseball were having a hard time with this. And this goes back to the same thing. I just hope it means baseball brings everybody in-house and does revenue sharing for TV. But that is going to have to come, guess when? During the collective bargaining part. But if Major League Baseball has a third of the teams in-house at some point, because remember, they took over a few teams last year, Gold, and they're clearly going to take over a few more teams this year. Doesn't that make that transition of power, or convincing these teams that it's the better of the league, that we take all of this internally starting 2035, and we're just sharing the TV revenue, and we're going to collectively bargain these things and end blackouts, and if you subscribe to MLB
TV, it's a long game.
You can watch your team.
It's the long game, you know. It's not something that they can just do in the next year or two. As you said, we're still years out from that, but it's a step forward. And in the meantime, though, how do you make up some of that revenue if you're not gonna get, if you can't get close to it? That's a huge bit of revenue the Royals get off of television and helps them support, you know, their payroll moving forward. And so we'll see how this settles. There's still again a chance that they renegotiate. But what a mess this whole, like, this is the second group, the second company that is owned the regional networks, the FanDuel Sports Network, prior to that, obviously Bally and everything. Like, just what a mess has this turned out to be with the regional sports network bubble, I guess.
Bring back RSTN, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's bring back Royals Television Network.
Well, they had a couple games on, what was it, KCTV 5 last year?
Like, they did,
a couple
and Sundays. KMB, their sister station, that, I think. It was like a split, wasn't it?
Is that the spot or KSMO? I get them confused. Which one's
KCWE,
which.
Maybe?
I don't know. KSMO.
Don't hold me to it.
I don't know.
They had a couple on local which people loved.
Yeah.
And people, look, if the Royals could just get a local TV partner and all 162 games a year were on local television, we'd all sign up. But that's just not the way, it's not the way sports have been trending. It's gotten quite the opposite. Very few, if any, have like local television deals that operate in that capacity. Maybe you can get a handful of games, but you're not getting all of them. But yeah, it's a mess. I feel bad for the Royals in a lot of ways, because they do care about the finances of having that kind of thing, and it does impact their bottom line in the end. But when we're talking about $10 million across a billion-dollar industry, I'd like to think that it doesn't stop you from spending.
All right, up next, we'll get back into the Chiefs a little bit. Joshua Briscoe, who, of course, was pre and post all year on the Chiefs radio network, we'll ask him about what the Chiefs have done with some of the coaching staff changes, minor moves to this point in time, what he wants to see in an offensive coordinator, and we'll talk a little AFC-NFC wild card right here on Cody and Gold.